Thanks for tuning in. Just a quick note before we get started. This show is not intended as medical or legal advice. While we do our best to research, the views expressed by the host and guests are opinions and should not be taken as fact. Our goal is to inspire hope by sharing the personal stories of autism pioneers who make exceptional contributions to the autism community.
Did you ever wonder if all families living with autism are pioneers, forging a unique and sometimes challenging journey into each simple everyday of life? Join Erica Daniels, mother of a teenager living with autism, as she explores conversations with those pioneering the unpredictable work, lives, and journeys of people making a difference for families meeting the everyday challenge of living with autism.
On today's episode, I'm really excited to talk to our ally and sponsor, Trulieve. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. They are our founding sponsor, and we are thrilled to have them here today. Corporate social responsibility is a critical component to business. Trulieve and our two guests today embody commitment to patients and the broader local communities they operate in. Today, we'll be talking to Angela Moscoso. Angela is the regional community outreach manager for Trulieve in Pennsylvania. Angela is a certified pharmacy technician, a high-level roller derby athlete, and a lifelong cannabis and community advocate. We'll also be joined by Trulieve's lead medical director, Dr. Trout. He is a naturopathic doctor with over three decades of experience studying and advocating for cannabis-based medicine. Dr. Trout is a leader in scientific research on cannabis-based medicine. He is the co-founder of the Medical Marijuana Research Institute, a scientific organization dedicated to better understanding the therapeutic effects of cannabis and disseminating that research to the academic community. Thank you so much for being here today. Welcome, Angela. Welcome, Dr. Trout. It's a pleasure to speak with you today. Angela, I'd like to start with you today because of your commitment to Hope Grows and our work together. We get to start this podcast and I get to have this conversation with both of you today. Thank you so much. And I'd love to welcome you both and let's get the conversation started. So we'll start with Angela. Angela, how are you today? Thank you and welcome to Hope Grows the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Angela, I'd love for you to tell us a bit about your personal journey. How did it lead you to your work in community service and outreach and into the cannabis industry?
A lot of my community passion comes from literally my own experience from being on both sides of the fence. Though I work in community now, it's the fact that I needed so much help from the community that led me into this work. At one point in my life, I even found myself homeless. A later point in my life, I had cancer and I had to figure out what direction to go in. And it is because of that, that I had to turn to the community. I had to turn to people who could help me when I didn't have many people. Even at one point when I was over 1,000 miles away from family, that community became imperative because community can be at your doorstep or it can be, you know, oceans away. It's about that emotional and that physical support on both sides. Later on, I came into cannabis because of the community aspect of it. When I had cancer, I was working in pharmacy at the time, and I found a community within the cannabis that was able to direct me and help me on my journey. And it is that led me to leave pharmacy and actually go into the root of medical marijuana.
Well, we're really thankful that you did. And we're thankful to have you as part of our community as well. Angela, since I first met you, I've been struck by your genuine desire to help others. You devote a lot of time and dedication to medical cannabis patients, and beyond that, to other needs and issues. Can you tell us about some of your outreach efforts, cannabis and otherwise? Because I know you're involved in a lot of community service, and you're really integral in, I mean, I know that you get in there and you go to these things and you're on the ground, you know, with your efforts helping. So tell us a little more about some of the projects that you're involved in.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very lucky that Trulieve has really given me the ability to just run. They understand that the community is literally the heart of what we're doing. It's the reason we're doing what we're doing. And it's imperative to keep our minds on that. As much as we all love money, right? Handing a check isn't always the answer. It's about getting in there, giving your hands, giving your time, being able to get dirty. And I'm lucky that this company, Trulieve, has given me that ability to do so. Even in the last couple of months, we've gotten our hands into helping the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, the Epilepsy Foundation of Eastern PA, who has just helped us train 155 team members in seizure training. We have continued to work with ALS and MS and cancer. These are things that not just our patients, but our team members, our fellow team members and our family members are dealing with on a daily basis. And that's the reason why we are out there every single day, because none of this is just going away. We're just so lucky that we've been given that ability with Trulieve to just run and to help anybody and everybody who can come and needs that help, and that we can be that partner for them.
I really love that, because I think, you know, when we talk about corporate social responsibility, there's a lot of companies, you're right, that just hand out checks and walk away. And the fact that you get to do something you're truly passionate about, and you have such an awesome company in Trulieve behind you to make that happen. Is that your dream job? Is this your dream job?
You know, and again, there's no problem, right? For some companies, that is what they can do, right? And being able to help financially is something. I want to make that very apparent. It is true. Something, right? But we're just lucky where I have the team members and the passion and the energy from these team members to assist in being in the field and being able to take it a step further than just that.
Angela, so, is this your dream job?
It actually is for me. When I was able to, with clarity, look at it, I'd realized that my passion, I had two things: helping the community and medical marijuana. Two things I just had such a passion about. And so I was 32, I decided to go to school, go to college for the first time. So I'd never gone to college. And I specifically went to do this. So I have a degree in business, and I'm just finishing up one in biology at the moment. And the whole reason was to do this so that I can instill and help other people with that education and that direction and have a starting point. You know, I mean, we all know this. Even 20 years ago, the research and the education we have was not there. And so I've spent much of my life, like Dr. Trout, just trying to get the education out. That education is power. So for me, this is literally one of the most powerful jobs I could have, is educating people. That power, you can't take that back from somebody once they have it. And for me, that truly is the dream job for me. I'm helping to instill power into people that they didn't even know they had.
Amazing. And we're so glad that you did follow this journey. And I can't wait to see all the places that you'll continue to go. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story and your efforts. And you're appreciated. You're very much appreciated. As a company that's driven towards the health and wellness of our communities and families in particular, Trulieve is the founding sponsor of our podcast. But Angela, you are the one that made it happen. Tell us why you wanted to help us get started and what that means to you in your professional career and personal life.
Absolutely. You know, Erica, we started this journey many, many months ago. And our first conversations, it was very apparent from the get-go that you and I shared passion. We shared the passion to help people. We shared the passion to educate people. And that right there, that shared passion, as we just said, that's power. That is true power for us to make change. And to meet you and to see what your organization has been doing, and you as a personal person, what you've been working on in your own advocacy, that right there, that gave me passion, right? And that's contagious. And that right there is the reason why I knew that with Trulieve being able to help spark my passion, and then you sparking my passion for what you're doing, we were just the perfect fit. Together, we could show other people and really promote and grow that passion into something that's really beautiful for the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think, you know, you and I are both used to making kind of something out of nothing, you know, when you don't have much and you have to just make it happen. And I think we share that. And I think, you know, we worked so well together to make this possible. And I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful not just for your efforts and for your contributions to Hope Grows, but just to have met you as a person. And thank you so much, you know, for everything that you do for Hope Grows and for the community in general. So I know you brought your medical director, Dr. William Trout, with you today. Would you please introduce us and tell us a little bit about Dr. Trout and how you all work together?
So about a year and a half ago, I had come into what was Harvest, and Dr. Trout was the educational director. We sat through about a 6-hour educational spiel from Dr. Trout about everything about cannabis. Now, that just sounds dreadful, right? 6 hours. But the whole room was so just involved in what was going on. Dr. Trout has been in the advocacy realm of medical marijuana and cannabis for over 30 years, yet he was causing this passion stir within a room of newbies who were literally just listening to facts, but were so involved in his passion that they were led to ask questions for over an hour after our educational spiel, because he invoked that passion. And that's the reason why I thought he was the perfect person for us today to bring in. He has shared that passion with the community around him for over 30 years, and he's continuing to do that today.
Hello, Dr. Trout. Thank you for joining us today. I'm grateful for your work in helping patients of many kinds learn how to use medical marijuana to get relief and improve their lives. At Hope Grows, we serve a lot of pediatric patients and their families. The parents I've known are dedicated to doing as much research as they can about different treatments for their child's symptoms. For a family who's curious if medical marijuana is the right fit for their autistic child, what advice would you give them before getting started?
Well, first of all, hello, Erica. Thank you so much for having me again. And Angela, thank you so much for that introduction. I blushed a little bit. Again, that's what makes it all worthwhile, again, is sharing that education. I think that's something that we all have in common. So again, thank you. Thank you. As far as patients that are thinking about cannabis, or families that are thinking about cannabis for their children, first of all, they need to know and understand the legalities of the plant and the program and the region that they're working in. We have approximately 40 states now that have some type of medical cannabis program, and over half of those states allow autism as a qualifying condition, Pennsylvania being one of those states. And also know that you have access to quality and safe medicine. Trulieve has 18 locations in Pennsylvania that, again, provides safe quality medicine. We have medical professionals, a team of them across the United States that provides consults and education and information about getting the right product. In Pennsylvania, we have pharmacists available at all of the dispensaries as well to, again, help educate patients on those medicines that they're considering using. And then also seek out support from the community. Patient support groups like Hope Grows are just a great resource to really understand about this medicine. Again, it's a complex plant medicine. We now know that it works through this endocannabinoid system that has receptors all through our nervous system and our immune system that regulates most of the systems inside our body. And we know that this system also regulates emotional responses, behavioral reactivity to context, social interactions, symptoms that are involved with anxiety as well. And with autism, we've seen deficiencies in the system, such as reduced cannabinoid receptors in the brain, reduced endocannabinoids as well. And we believe that this adds to that evidence that using medical marijuana in Pennsylvania is a great way to support this endocannabinoid system and provide benefits for individuals that are dealing with autism.
Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I just want to touch on, you know, we're using the term medical marijuana and we're using the term medical cannabis. And we may want to share that those words are interchangeable. And so when we're talking about medical marijuana, in some places, that's just what terms are used. And we're talking about medical cannabis in other places. We're talking about the same thing for people who might be curious about that. So the most common cannabis questions we encounter at Hope Grows are often, what to use and how much to take. And that's the question, right? That's the million-dollar question. What would you say to a patient, parent, or caregiver who wants to learn about dosage and
what to use? Yeah, it's get as much education as you can. Like I said, this is a complex plant. This is a complex endocannabinoid system that the plant is supporting. And it's not a one-size-fits-all medicine. Everybody's different as far as how they respond to this medicine and which types of medicine that they get the best results. What I would say is the most important thing is to use a very specific approach to how you find out which medicine works best for you. Start slow and go slow is kind of the start low, go slow is the mantra within the cannabis community. The nice thing is this is a very safe medicine from a toxicity perspective. But if you get too much in the system, it doesn't feel good and there can be adverse effects associated with it. So we definitely want to start slow. The other thing about this medicine is it has biphasic effects. It's not a linear effects curve. So more isn't always better. Sometimes people respond to lower doses. So again, starting with a low dose is the best way for an individual to find out what works for them and then slowly increase that dose if they need to find out what works best for them. And also interact with your treating physician, your primary care physicians. Let them know what they're using. Again, use the medical professional resources at the dispensaries, the Trulieve pharmacies. Do multiple consults to, again, make sure that you're using the best medicine for your condition. I can't say it enough. Reach out to support groups like Hope Grows and other parents to, again, really interact. And the other thing is there's a very wide dosage range for cannabis. Like I said, some people do very well with low doses, but some people need very large doses to get the benefit that they're looking for. You've got CBD medicines, we do know. But that's one of the things that I've learned from parents like you, Erica, is don't be afraid of THC either. It can be a very powerful tool in your toolbox to help get symptomatic relief for a patient with autism or your child with autism. And the last thing I would say is keep a journal. Write down everything that you're taking, the exact products that you're taking, how much you're taking, when you're taking it. Keep track of all the symptoms that you're following, that you're trying to get relief from, and their severity, scale of 1 through 10. You know, this is how severe the symptom was when I started. This is after my cannabis use. And again, long-term symptoms, and it can really help you dial in what medicine works best for you as an individual.
That's very helpful. And I think you touched on something that comes up a lot. And, autism is a very broad term, right? We know this. Some of the other chronic illnesses. So typically we're looking to treat symptoms. So what at Hope Grows, what we like to tell families is, you know, instead of just saying my child has autism and I want to try medical cannabis to treat the autism, I typically might suggest that a parent pick 2 or 3 top symptoms, you know, what's going on, because autism has so many different symptoms and not all patients have the same symptoms. And oftentimes, you know, you mentioned symptoms like anxiety and, you know, we have symptoms that are also qualifying conditions on their own that are comorbid with autism, like anxiety. So how do you feel about that versus, you know, a patient or a family coming in and saying, hey, you know, we want to treat autism as a whole, or do you think it's best to sort of hone in on specific symptoms and track those?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, everybody's, like you said, different in their presentation with autism and autistic spectrum disorder. So it's more about treating the individual. And I have people come in all the time and they say, well, what product is best for anxiety, or what product is best for pain? And I don't necessarily believe there's a cannabis medicine that is best for this specific symptom, but I do think that there are cannabis medicines that are best for a certain individual that is dealing with that symptom. And the patients, the families that get the best results out of this medicine are the ones that are very engaged in it. So it might not even be, you know, I have parents and patients that use different medicines for different days or in the morning versus in the evening, or just depending on what's going on in their world. So the more engaged that a person is as far as finding that right medicine for themselves in the right setting, the better they do with it. So again, cannabis is a tool to help people manage these symptoms. And the better you know your tools, the more that you can do with them.
I think you really hit a strong point there. Even myself with my own regimen, there's different products I use in the morning comparative to the afternoon or to the evening, or how I woke up that day. Was my anxiety really bad when I woke up? And I knew already from the get-go it was going to be one of those days. That is something definitely to understand, is that it's not a one fit all. The plant is just as special as we are as humans, and just as unique as we are as humans. Each strain will be different. Each medication will be different. And understanding that there is no one fit, and even times a day may be different, is so important. And I agree with you, Dr. Trout, that journal really, for the patients I've helped over the years, that is number one key, that journal, so that you can see those differences.
Yeah, I agree also. I mean, sometimes going to the dispensary and walking out with one product makes me nervous, because we try that product and it at a certain time of day or the wrong time of day, and it may not work. And we say, oh, well, cannabis doesn't work. That's not how it works. It's trial and error. It's go slow, start low and go slow. Just like any other medication that you might want to try with your child. You know, you're going to start these things slow. You're going to have to trial and error a few different medications. And, you know, you're right. Cannabis works exactly the same way. And when we're talking about autistic children, sometimes, you know, we have, or frequently we have a profile of symptoms where the child is hyper during the day and then has trouble sleeping at night, you know, so you definitely want to, I think I always have 2 to 3 in my arsenal in my house. So I think that was really good advice. Thank you. Given the plant's impact on so many, I hear a lot of personal stories about people's experience with cannabis. Dr. Trout, do you have a connection or why you started your journey in cannabis that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Well, my parents have been advocates for botanical and natural medicines my entire life. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with what motivated me to specialize in natural medicines. And then when I started seeing these state-regulated medical cannabis programs decriminalizing cannabis for patients across the country, I really believe that that's where I could make the biggest impact in my communities, across the country, around the world. We're seeing these changes that just has such a potential to, again, make an impact with, you know, justice issues, social equity issues, economic issues, again, on top of what it's doing for the medical community. So again, that is definitely what stimulated me to make a career of this and a lifelong pursuit. But I think what really just keeps me there and keeps me passionate about it is hearing the stories that patients share about how this medicine is changing their quality of life. And I've worked with many, many families now over the years that have used cannabis with their children for autism and seizure disorders. And I remember one of the ones that made such a big impact early on was I was working with this family that had an 8-year-old boy with autism and was dealing with a lot of aggressive and self-injurious behaviors and would bang his head against the wall until to the point of self-injury and drawing blood. And they were using these antipsychotic and sedative pharmaceuticals that, in their words, you know, was turning him into a drooling zombie. So they were desperately looking for another alternative. And then through the use of cannabis medicines and finding the right cannabis medicines, they were able to balance him out and curtail that behavior and decrease the use and get rid of many of those pharmaceuticals that they were concerned with. And just seeing, and they would come in together as a family too, the parents, the grandparents all together. And this was a journey for them learning how to use that medicine. And again, just their stories and tears of how grateful they were about, you know, what an impact it made on their life and his life. That's what keeps me going and keeps me doing this. Again, Angela, much like the stories that you've told as well. So yeah, it's so exciting and rewarding to be a part of, again, people's journey using this medicine and our journey in this country, providing safe access to this medicine to our communities as well.
And thank you. And you've been doing this a very long time. How long did you say? Tell me again.
Well, again, my entire adult life, I've been advocating for this plant. I was the kid back in college that was, going to all the college campuses and saying, you know, the first American flag was made out of cannabis or, you know, hemp, the marijuana plant. First draft of our Constitution written on, you know, paper made out of this.
That was me.
So again, I worked for hemp companies, you know, starting in the late 80s, early 90s. This has absolutely been a lifelong journey for me.
And that's so awesome because, you know, the theme of this podcast is pioneers. So, you know, hearing your story, you know, from you directly, you are truly a pioneer. And it sounds like your parents were pioneers too. So we appreciate that. And that fits right in with our theme of the podcast.
Thank you.
A common and guiding theme in the pediatric patient community is hope. We are Hope Grows. And I understand you're involved with a nonprofit called Harvesting Hope, who supports families dealing with pediatric epilepsy. Tell us about that organization and where our listeners can learn more about medical cannabis solutions for epilepsy. And epilepsy also, so we also know too that seizures is a common occurrence in some people with autism. So that overlaps there as well. I'd love to hear about Harvesting Hope.
Yeah, so when our medical program in Arizona was first passed in 2010, and then our dispensaries opened in 2012. Well, interestingly enough, I specialized, or I had an emphasis during my early medical studies and my early practice in pediatrics and family medicine. And when I started specializing in cannabis, I thought that, you know, that was kind of over, that I wasn't going to be seeing so many children. And then boy, was, I was absolutely wrong about that, because 2012, our dispensary program opened in Arizona. And it wasn't long after that. It was right around the same time that Dr. Sanjay Gupta did the special weed on CNN talking about children using cannabis for epilepsy. And we were flooded in Arizona. We had patients and families moving to Arizona to be able to use medical cannabis under our legal state program in Arizona. But at that time, there wasn't any information or education out there about how specifically to use cannabis with epilepsy and what types of medicines to use. So we realized that there was a need for more education and support for these families with epilepsy than we could provide just in the dispensary realm. And we started, along with other families in Arizona, we started the nonprofit Harvesting Hope, which was, again, just to provide support for families that we're dealing with epilepsy, educational resources, and then financial resources as well, because getting access to these programs had a financial burden associated with it also. So that's just, again, been a wonderful journey. And Harvesting Hope has continued to evolve and has opened up more to building a network of patient support, not just in Arizona, but throughout the country, and not just for epilepsy, but for patients with cancer and for veterans that are using cannabis as well. You know, that was one of the things that we noticed, is that patients had a fear in some level because of all of the, again, misinformation and propaganda and the legal status of cannabis at that time. Their physicians didn't want to talk to them about medical marijuana either. So again, I see Harvesting Hope more now evolving into this patient support network across the country, including Hope Grows. And Trulieve has the, you know, same mindset about supporting these patient organizations. And we have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to these patient support groups. But again, as Angela pointed out, it's not just about providing money. It truly is about this patient support network, not only, again, across this country, but I say around the globe, that is this alliance of people and patients believe that they should have safe access and education to medical cannabis.
Wow. Well, I have to say that both of you are truly pioneers and are truly inspirational not just to me, but to the community at large. And we are really fortunate to have you. We're fortunate to have Trulieve as a partner and the founding sponsor for this podcast. Hope is a common theme, as it's been throughout this podcast and throughout the work that we do at Hope Grows and the work that you do at Harvesting Hope and the work that you both do at Trulieve. So I'd like to ask you both, what does hope mean to you and how does it show up in your life or in your work? Or what does it mean to you and how does it show up for you?
For me personally, this is actually a word that, especially for me the last couple of years, I've gone through quite a bit, that I've thought about a lot. And hope is literally that spark of light in a dark room where you thought nothing else existed. It really, truly is. And even the slightest little spark of a light, of a candle, that right there is that feeling like it's going to be okay. Like I'm going to figure something out. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to get better. I'm going to survive. I'm going to learn. I'm going to, no matter what it is, it's that one spark. And that one spark is so powerful because sometimes that's all we're looking for. It's just that one bit of light to give us a direction to go in.
Yeah, I think you nailed it and how I feel about it too. And it's like a lot of times, you know, in the work that I do, you know, it's, and the work that we all do, and particularly you, Angela, it's, you know, initially for me, it was kind of turning that pain into power, right? And so it sort of starts as pain. And then you see if you just, you know, there might be just a small drop of light or a small sparkle of light or a small hint of hope, and it keeps you going. And yeah, I really love what you said. And Dr. Trout, I'd love to know for you also, what does hope mean to you and how does it show up in your life?
Hope is a great term, and it really talks about our belief. And belief is so important, and not just in our daily lives, especially in our medical journey and trying to heal. You have to believe, you have to have that positive outlook and continue, again, pushing forward. And it makes all the difference in the world. So again, being engaged. And, you know, I talk to people a lot of time in the healing journey. I say that it's a lot of times it's three steps forward, two steps back. And when you're in that two steps back, you have to understand that and where you are, and you have to believe and that you and understand that you're still in that healing process. You're still moving forward. So that hope, that belief is so important in our everyday lives, in our communities, how we interact with others, and in our healing journey as well.
Awesome. Thank you.